We have a dream.
We have a voice.
This is
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
Hi, I am your host, Kevin Touch, and we are
The Anchor Nation.
Hello, Anchor Nation. This is Kevin Touch, the host of Anchor Nation Community Readers, and we're back with another episode of the Anchor Nation Podcast, episode 98 with Ozzy. And with that, further, what Ozzy introduce himself.
Hello, hello, hello.
Doing good.
It's 9 a.m. here, so it's right. Earlier in the morning, and so I'm used to the late night talk, so right, don't mind.
We'll definitely dive.
How've you been?
Good.
Yeah.
Gotta get the interview started, make it happen. And you got a lot of stories, too, from going from Houston to Singapore, so definitely interested to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
But for the first question, how did you discover Anchor?
Okay, so how did I discover Anchor? My friend told me about it, and he was like, oh, you should, like, totally, you know, sign up for this app or, like, you know, check it out. And at first, I was just like, okay, what's Anchor? And I keep seeing, like, more and more, like, ads about it on Facebook and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay, podcasts. You know, I've always heard of, like, some random, like, podcasting sites and iTunes, and I never really got interested in it. And then so I signed up for Anchor, and, like, I thought it was, like, the coolest thing because I get to call into other people's station. And I'm doing that, and I never actually put out my own content until I was just like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to start ranting. And that's how Late Night Talk Soap came about.
I was just gonna say, like, what do you discuss on Late Night Talk Show, and then we'll talk a little bit about the XXX Creative Agency a little bit later. But just the Late Night Talk Show, what do you discuss on there?
On here on Late Night Talk Show. Well, I talk about, you know, what's going on in, like, today's world. It's a kind of like a personal blog of mine. So I talk a little bit about like motivation, or I talk about, like, fashion, like, you know, the global setting right now, right? I talk a lot, actually. I find that I talk a lot about, like, mental health. Like, I'm a huge advocate for taking care of your mental health, because a lot of people, you know, we tend to, like, overlook it a lot.
No, absolutely. Mental health is probably the number one thing right now trending as far as just what to prevent and try to help other people who are suffering from that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, negative thoughts, they come. Like, they are inevitable, right? But it's just, like, how do you, you know, deal and sit with these emotions? A lot of times, like, for me, I like to just scroll them away. Like, I just do something that makes me happy, but I don't attend to them, and then that's when things start to go spiraling down. I think a lot of people sometimes they do that as well. And I actually had a frequent episode just talking about that.
No, for sure. I think a lot of people get into that spiral effect of where their mind actually sits with them, and they either overlook it, or they don't want to search help, or they don't even have comprehensible thoughts in their own mind. So I think talking about these and knowing that people are out there to help and getting out in the open is key just to overcome it, for sure.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But for question two, I guess we'll talk a little bit about your career here. What do you do? I know you moved from Houston to Singapore, but what do you do as far as a career wise?
Okay, so as of right now, I'm a brand strategist. I am, like, basically mingling in the fashion world, helping them make their brand stand out. So what I do essentially is I dig out the brand DNA and make them go viral. So XXCA is actually the process of cell mitosis. You know how the process when cell splits, the DNA replicates?
Yes.
And it spreads out. So what we do is we make brands go viral. That's where XXCA is all about. And so you know how I told you, like, I started out as, like, a fashion designer. I moved here, and It's shifted a little. It's shifted a little, but I'm still, you know, I'm still in the scene. Like, I don't, I'm still trying to get back into it.
No, yeah, it's interesting that you make the brands go viral, find that digital marketing aspect of it. And would you say, just another follow-up question, would you say there's any challenges associated with it? What's just some challenges trying to get like a startup brand? Or do you feel that now that you have more experience because you're kind of new to it, that you start to get the hang of it? Or is it still a work in progress every day?
I mean, it's work in progress, right? Because, like, I never had to pull up, like, the numbers for it. Like, I never really had to, like, actually do an ROI projection and, like, yo, I'm not a first person, and like all these numbers that I have to like keep generating for like my clients, it's pissing me off. And I'm just like, ugh. But it's part of the process, right? It's part of the process. You learn. I'm trying to scale until like, I can hire more people to do that for me. But until then, like Professor Google is my best bet. And also, like, you know, just friends around, right? Like, it's all part of the process. You gotta just hustle through.
No, I definitely hustle and embrace the process. I think that's important. And trust yourself in knowing what you could do can make it happen for another person.
Perfect.
And would you say the collaboration efforts, you know, I would say, was your collaboration efforts with the people you work with a relatively smooth relationship, or do you have some bumps along the way?
It's relatively smooth. I try to keep a good relationship with them, you know. At the end of the day, we're human, we make mistakes. But there's been a few clients where they were just like, they have bad taste and you can't fix bad taste. They want to like write all over your work. And if you don't like, if you can't, you know, if they don't let you do your work, well, then you can't really work with them, because if it doesn't give them the results that they want, and then this is going to be back on you. So like, I actually had to drop that client. Like, they kept trying to like change the graphic, or like changing the copywriting. I was like, I mean, we're getting the general idea out. Like, you're getting traffic. Why do you want to keep changing things? You know, it was just like, was just kept shooting. He just kept shooting himself in his foot. So we just like, hey, look, we're not going to work with this anymore. Sorry.
No, for sure. I think when you had those people who are trying to not really be ignorant, but just can't work with you and can't be reasonable with you, have to cut the ties.
Micromanaging a lot of things. It was like he was
No, I hear you. I mean, when you get those micromanagers, you just keep looking at those small details that at the end of the day, of course, they matter, but you look at every small detail, you're going to miss the macro scale, what's actually need to be done.
Exactly. And he had bad taste too. So like, he wanted like these ugly ass stock images when we went in there and actually took photos.
And then that's the other problem. It's like, all right, well, now the quality's all messed up. Yeah. You have to kind of retract.
Yeah.
No, I see what you're saying. It looks easy on paper. It's like just a brand strategist, you know. If you got like an established brand, or you got like somebody who's been around, yeah, all right, I understand. But if you're starting out and trying to work on this on the fly, good luck. So yeah, definitely just...
And a lot of it, like, branding is just about knowing what makes you different and other people's perception of your company. That's basically what it is.
No, for sure. And that definitely comes with research and dedication and just a little bit of know about the market, too. The market space. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And for the third question, now we'll kind of transition. So what, can you give like a backstory on why you were originally in Houston and then went to Singapore? So just kind of, what was the process like of moving and have to move on the go?
Yeah, okay. So actually my grandma fell in February, and, you know, everybody was saying like, oh my gosh, she's not well. Like, she keeps having like heart problems, and yeah. And I was just like, oh, you know what, like, she's getting old, I just want to spend more time with her. And so I just like packed my bags and I went. I had no real intention of actually staying here, but when I came here, you know, my friend Athira, remember, you know Athira from Anchor?
Yep. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's my next follow-up question.
Yeah. I actually met up with her, and you know, she works in a blockchain company. I tried it out, and it was really, really cool. The only sad part was that I found out I'm no longer a citizen. So, I mean, that journey has been really, really rough. And it turns out, like, you know, I am a citizen. Like, they just didn't even bother to check because, you know, so on and so forth. Like, it was just a lot of mess. Right. It was a lot of mess. And then I have to go down to the immigration office on Monday. So it's been a long journey. But besides that, like, I've met a lot of great people. A lot of people in, like, the marketing and, like, you know, coaching and stuff. And I was just like, at first, you know, like, when I'm in Houston or, like, in the beginning, I'm just like, oh, these, like, frou-frou, like, business people, you know what I mean? Like, they lack a sense of fashion. I'm, like, from, like, the fashion world. But, like, these people are, like, really, really cool, and they've helped me grow so much, you know, as a brand strategist, and just in general, they've helped me, like, grow so much. And I think it really ties down to, like, who you surround yourself with.
Right. And I think
I've been getting, like, so many great connections here.
That's it. That's what the real connection is. The people you hang out with, the people you make acquaintances with, that's how your personality shows when you actually talk to them. So it's important to make those networking connections and talk about these things to get on a different level and see what you can learn about your brand and their brand, for sure.
Definitely. Go ahead.
No, and then I was going to say that was the follow-up question. What's the experience been like with the theater and working at XX and just really getting everything together in Singapore and just the experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool because, like, when I came to Singapore, I was in a lost space, you know? like, I came here just totally... not really on my own, but yes, kind of, because I actually never really lived here and worked here.
Right.
I only came here for vacation all the time. And, like, if I were to come on vacation and visit a theater, I'd be like, hey, a theater, like, let's hang out and stuff, you know, not actually go in there and work. But it was a really interesting experience. You know, I got me in a theater, like, we got to hang out, and she's really sweet. She's been, like, really busy, so we became really, really good friends. I remember basically it was just really tough working at Bounty because, like, they wanted to meet, like, crazy, crazy deadline. And I actually had made a corporate video for them, so, like, kind of like advertisement, and a lot of it, I was, like, just refining their brand identity, kind of like what I do now for other companies, but I was, like, hired in, you know?
Right.
Like, I was literally kind of, like, creative brand strategist for their company, but I was just, like, in their company, not as a consultant, but, like, as an employee with Bounty.
Right, yeah. And I think... Yeah, you can go.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's it, the fact that you kind of went into the system rather than kind of being off and being an alliance, in the sense you're in the system and you find what you can do to reputate their brand. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, really just finding out what makes them different from all the other sports gaming, esports gaming, cryptocurrency company. Because, I mean, there's others out there. Like, let's be honest. There's a lot of them. It's not a lot, there's not, like, you know, as many as, like, restaurants or, like, you know, clothing stores, but it's a niche market, and other people are doing it. So it's really about finding what makes them as an esports gaming company different from the rest.
Oh yeah, and esports. I mean, that market is insane.
It's huge.
That's actually a perfect segue, and I was going to talk about that. But before I talk about that, just the fact that I don't know, like 2 years ago, we didn't have all these type of video games like PUBG and Fortnite and all this stuff that all this stuff came out pretty much this year. And all once it came out, I mean, they probably spend a good, I don't know, an average of 10, 12 hours playing these games and doing it competitively and winning money. I mean, you can seriously win money on these things when you go to tournaments and you go to, conferences. So it's incredible how that market's just opened up. And that's a perfect segue. You just want to talk a little bit about the esports market and what you've seen as a trend over there, especially in Asia. I'm actually fascinated to learn what the esports market is like in Asia. Yeah.
People love that shit here.
Oh, for sure.
People go crazy over it. Like they have like this huge stadium and like people are like watching people play games. Like, okay. You know? They actually sit in a room and watch them to play games.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much what they do. I mean, you would think that it's just a video game. What could it really do? But these people have teams, they have coaches, training, facilities.
They had coaches, like, what?
Yeah, you wouldn't think just playing a video game, that's fascinating. It's like, I need a coach, I need a trainer, I need a facility, I gotta go to camp. It's like, it's a lot of work but just a video.
It's an actual sport. Like, people take it seriously here.
Oh, yeah. No, and that is the good thing, though, about at least the sport, though, the esport, is they are taking it into a serious manner where, hey, money's on the line, but more importantly, out of whatever game you're playing and the pride of your team is out there. And I think the necessary preparation they do, and especially in foreign countries, that's how people make a living, just streaming now. So it's definitely changed compared to like a year ago, for sure.
Yes, definitely. You know, I actually got myself a Twitch account and I never figured out how to use it. I just have a screen name. That's it. Like, I never figured out how to use it because you had to like download some kind of like API or some kind of stuff and like link it to your computer. Like, you can't just turn it on and like have your screen sitting there. And like, I was playing, you know, I was downloading some like games on my laptop, because I have a gaming laptop, and I tried, you know, just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna Twitch and like, you know, show them how I play Fortnite and die. But yeah, it was like, I never figured out how to use it. It was difficult. I was just like, why is my screen not showing? Yeah, but yeah, hello?
Yeah, we're back. Hey, connection issue.
Hey, okay, we're back.
Yeah, no, so my next question was, what's the lifestyle and just the culture out in Singapore compared to like Houston and the rest of America where you've been previously?
So, okay, what I love about Singapore is that it's so much culture and so much like diversity here. You have people from all over the world here. Just quite similar to Houston, because Houston's actually pretty diverse as well. But you have people from like, you know, the US, like the UK, Malaysians, Thailand, and the business here, like everybody's like, it's global, you know? And like, I feel like it's very, very diverse. But I must tell you, though, the Vietnamese food here is like crap compared to Houston. I tried some Vietnamese. I was upset. But the Singapore food, of course, like this is home. This is home of all the good interesting flavors. Just don't have
no any. It is interesting because you have two different cultures and yet it still compares to like a major.
Oh, hello,
still there?
Okay.
Oh, good. No, I was just gonna say, I was like, it's interesting with the two different cities across the world, but yet I guess the comparison here is it's still like that big city life, like that New York City, that Houston, San Francisco. It has that diversity of all different cultures around the world. And I think that's what makes it a unique city, because you can always go to like a small town and you can get some type of people, different type of people, but in a big city, there is one thing, is you get that diversity of culture, you can interact, and you have more knowledge coming in, for sure.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And it's, so, like, the beauty of Singapore is that it has grown so fast, right, you know, over the 50 years that it's been around.
Yeah, it's
like,
new.
It's still a very, very young country, you know? I think sometimes it runs itself a bit socialist because you can't protest. Like, you can't protest.
Oh, yeah, it's straight out there.
So, if the government, like, does something that you don't like, you can't gather your friends who also disagree with them and, like, march to, like, City Hall. Like, you're gonna get arrested,
right,
you know? There's no such thing as freedom of speech here as much as, like, in the U.S., you know what I mean?
Right.
And also, I feel like people are more conservative here. They're not as open. Maybe I come from Texas, where it's like the southern thing, where everybody's like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, or like, "How's your day going?" It's like, you know, you sneeze on the train, and somebody's like, "Bless you."
Right.
You know what I mean? Here, like, everybody's quiet. Like, if you don't, I don't know you. You don't know me. Like, why are you talking to me? Kind of thing. They would like look at you all funny or think like you're trying to sell them something,
right? No,
because I guess like they're so used to being sold to, like they don't know how to really, they're skeptical about like people having a conversation with. I don't know, it's weird sometimes because I'd be on the bus and then I'd be like, "Oh, hey, you know, I like your dress," or something. They'd be looking at me all weird, they give me the side eye, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I don't like it then," like. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do? I'm like, okay.
No,
I'm a walking Twitter. Okay, I speak my mind.
No, you're right though. I think with the different cultures and the way the people interact with each other, even they are more conservative. And I think trying to just not make any problems. I think that's another thing too, in a sense that they might think, "All right, well, now you're talking to me. What kind of problem you can make?" And they're trying to, I guess, not start anything where it could lead to something bad. But I understand what you're saying from your point, when you come from America, where it's very open, it's very sociable. Then you go to there where it's kind of more quiet and not dictatorship, like you said, socialist. It gives you that impression, like, I can't even say you have good things going on. So it definitely is a contrast for sure.
I mean, like, you got some people, usually they're Malaysians, like, you know, usually they're, like, Malay, but, like, some of the Chinese, I mean, not all, I'm not saying all, but, like, some of them, I mean, I'm Chinese, I'm not like that, but it's the culture, you know, it's just the culture. They're not used to it, or they don't really, like, interact with each other. They don't know you, they don't know you, unless, you know, they need something from you, or they're like, asking you something. But, like, nobody really just talks. It's weird. The people who usually talk back to me and, like, actually strike a conversation sometimes, most of them, majority of them, are, like, Malaysians.
Interesting. No, that is...
There's a good chunk of Malaysians in Singapore. It's, like, a lot of them are Chinese and a lot of them are Malaysians.
Right. It's right there, too, geographically. And that makes sense. I mean... You definitely, with a young country, and one thing I've been around, but one thing most young countries, they do have is opportunity, because it's still less than 100 years or even 60 years old. is there's a lot more open space out there for opportunities and sectors, markets, jobs. Not even just jobs, but like real estate even. I mean, land. And I think the fact that there is more in the sense of opportunity, you do start getting more people here, and you start getting more, I guess, ethnic backgrounds, and you start seeing whose groups also start to come in and click. I mean, you have, like you said, Malaysians here, and then you have the Chinese crowd here, and then you have tourist attraction type people here. And then there's, and then of course, you have the business side people, and then you have the tourists, and that's an interesting mix too. Is there anything you've seen between like the business and tourist side? Is there like a clear distinction, or is it hard to tell sometimes?
I mean, okay, let's be honest. The tourists everywhere just look always lost. The tourist just looks always lost, or they come in like a big group of people with somebody carrying a flag, like, oh, this is the place, you know.
Really.
Like, usually it's like the tour guide or somebody is on their phone, just looking lost. Sometimes that's me because I'm trying to get somewhere. I look lost and frustrated because my phone's not working. I'm still sometimes like, I sometimes feel like a tourist because I actually never really lived there.
Right.
Until now. Until like, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I got to figure out how to get here.
Wow.
So I think the big distinction is like the business people, they're here to work, you know, The tourists, they're just here to have fun. They're just here for vacation. It's a big difference because, I don't know, I'd say the business, well, usually like they're more like reserved, they're more closed off, or they're more like stressed out.
Mm-hmm. No,
I'd say.
I get what you're saying because I think you could tell sometimes too with the business people, they're just straightforward when they walk. They're not looking at any major buildings. They're just kind of get to the office. Get what I got to get done. And they seem more serious tone. And then you have tours is like, all right, let's have a fun time. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, look at this building. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, it's nice.
And that's the typical the tourist and typical worker. It's like, yeah, well, you got your two stereotypes. And I mean, it's not going to stereotype people, but in this case, it's like, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, we know who's there to do what they got to do and do what they got to do on the other end. So keep it at that for sure.
But, usually you can pick them up.
Yeah, but yeah, I was just saying, yeah, you can usually pick up on who and kind of that lingo is like an average person or in Singapore, like somebody who's been around or just even moved, just coming in, like they take a couple of weeks to get used to the place, they can kind of pick and choose the lingo. And then my next follow-up would be, or next question would be, how's your family doing right now as far as your grandma? And what's the family support been like about the move you made to Singapore and just overall the support they've given you?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, my grandma's getting better, so that's a really, really good thing. She's learning how to walk again. So taking it slowly day by day, you know.
Sure.
But you know, my mom lives here in Singapore. It's been good. It's been, you know, just a lot of hustle and grind, but I've been making good money. That's the good part. I think it comes down to like they don't really care what I do as long as I make money. Like I think at the end of the day, parents like they don't care if you're really a doctor or engineer, or you want to be a fashion designer, heck, even like brand strategist or something like that, you know,
right.
As long as it makes money, like as long as they see like you're happy and you're successful, I think all parents just want you to be the best that you can be.
No, for sure. I think and that's what it is as long as you are doing something you enjoy, as long as you're doing something you can make a sustainable living, you can be happy in the sense that you have your feelings and of course with, you know, mental health, just staying straight in the sense that you don't have to worry about incredible mood swings or you're feeling depressed one day. So I think it's important to keep it happy knowing that you have other people around you and maintain the fun
and
level.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's okay to feel sad.
Right.
It's okay to feel depressed. It's just knowing that you feel that way and, like, taking the time out to, like, acknowledge that and, like, taking time to, like, just de-stress or declutter your mind.
Oh, yeah. Definitely take a day to just step back. Or even forget a day. Just take a week, even. Just take a week of vacation. Take a week of whatever you need to do to get back to recharge mode and do it. I think that's the important thing. Sometimes you don't even need the help. Sometimes it's just you're overstressed. Just take that week back and move forward when you get back to your regular routine, for sure.
I still want to get back into fashion. Like, I still want to do, like, I still want to run, you know, a fashion brand and everything. It's just making sure that I have a good amount of income and for this income to turn passive. So I just have, like, consistent income coming in without having to do anything.
I hear what you're saying. You still have that drive to go to the fashion industry. And you still want to do it. And I think when the opportunity arises, I think it'll happen. It'll fall into place. As long as you keep finding ways and making it happen, it usually falls into place because you got that experience and you kind of know where the trends could go, especially in the fashion industry. All it takes is one trend to get on board and there you go.
Yeah. Yep. Just keep making content. Just keep making stuff.
For sure, for sure.
Cool stuff. Getting into the craft.
Yeah, honing the craft. That's good. We'll talk about that question now about message. But for the next question is, what is one person or one creator out there you like to collaborate with one day? Could be anybody in the world, dead or alive.
Mm-hmm. Let me think. It would be Alexander Wei. Alexander Wei. Hello?
I was waiting.
Or Nike.
Nike?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Nike definitely stirring up some stuff. But
yeah.
But overall, though, I think it is a good message to have with Nike, what they're doing. But as far as Alexander Wei, can you just elaborate a little bit? I don't know who that is, so I'd be good to...
So he's a fashion designer and he does like a lot of like minimal like clothing. Like he is just one of the I really really enjoy his stuff. His fashion, his style. He's a little bit more like sporty. His style is. It is really just modern and like avant-garde.
Interesting. Okay. Does he do just any type of like sportswear, or does he just do clothes in general? Any shoes, or is it just more clothing?
Shoes, it's clothing. Lot of it is very androgynous, like it's genderless.
Oh,
so like a guy. And it's really, really cool. Like, it's some really interesting pieces.
No, that is actually cool that you can interchange the clothes between gender. That's something that I think a lot of people underestimate, in the sense that some things, some female trends can actually be male trends and vice versa. I think a lot of people underestimate that, but it's true. I mean, you can do things, whether it be a hair product or it could be a fashion tip, fashion design, you can interchange them. And a lot of people kind of get segregated over that, in the sense that it has to be this way. So I think it's important that we discuss and express ourselves that way. So for sure, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And I like a lot of times they're like, oh, yeah, you know, girls wearing that, I don't want to wear that. Even though it looks dope as heck, like, you know, it would look dope as heck. Like It's not what a dude would wear. I mean, girls just wear anything. Sometimes we just wear
everything. Nah, for sure. Sometimes
I'd pick out stuff from the guy section just because it looks cool.
Right. No, it doesn't matter. I think that's the great thing. It doesn't matter really about what your clothes is or what the appearance is. As long as you're happy. Yeah, as long as you're happy, content, and what's on the inside that really matters the most. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. You're just going to dress and how you feel. It doesn't matter if people judge you. Just keep doing you, for sure.
Just do it.
Like Nike. There you go. There you go. Yeah, just do it and believe, for sure. That's definitely the...
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
I knew we'd get that in the show. I just had a feeling we'd get that in because it's been a hot topic. So I think I'll talk... I just knew because I feel like that's been like I see all these I don't know, like these fake things saying believe in something that got a good picture. It's like I've been seeing it all over today. It's like, all right, well, I'm having a podcast and I wonder if this gets into the equation. And I guess it did. There we go.
Bound to happen
for sure. The next question is, what is one piece of motivation or just motivational advice you would give to any brand or content creator just starting out in the industry?
Could you repeat the question again?
Sorry about that. It kind of cut off again. No worries.
Okay, it cut off again. Okay, what was the question? I didn't catch quite.
No, I was going to say, what is one piece of advice or just motivational tip you would give to any person, like content creator or brand starting out in the industry?
I would say be you. Right. Be you. Know what makes you you. And just do what you love. Do what you love regardless of whether or not it makes you money right now. Like, you know, of course, find something that makes you money on the side, or like find something that will make you money as you're, you know, going through it. So that way you can have bills to keep, you know, you can pay your bills. But if you don't have any bills that are like really, really pressing, like just freaking go for it. Like the worst thing to do is just to live not knowing what could have happened had you done, you know, what you really actually wanted to. So, just know yourself, fall in love with yourself, and be true to yourself. That's the biggest.
And just do you. Yeah, no, that's the message. Yeah. I think you find the right way and the right path to go on, you'll figure it out, in the sense that you find the passion, you really look forward to strive and put 100% into it, you'll eventually get to where you want to be in a couple of years. Yeah. Sure.
And sometimes it might not be what you originally planned. You know, it might, what you originally, you know, you shift sometimes into something completely different, and that's okay. Right. Like if you, you know, find that you go all in 100% and you find out that you really don't want to do this anymore, like this is not you, or this is like you don't enjoy doing this, well then okay, this isn't for you. Like keep exploring, you know, like, but go all in, don't half ass it. And it doesn't work because you half ass it. Like patience is key. Like you got to enjoy the process. But if you, you know, find out that this is actually not, nah, this is not what I want to do, it's kind of sucks and it's draining you to the point where it's like draining you, like just keep exploring.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with change. Expiration. You can change 25,000 times until you find the right thing. And as long as you get to the right destination, your ultimate final destination of having a happy life, it's all right. Those 25,000 changes are really nothing. It's just that one thing that really you hit it off and you go for it, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is like begin with the end in mind. Like, what do you want to create, or like what is it that you want to accomplish? Begin begin with that in mind and figure out all ways you can to get there. I'm a very big picture kind of person, so you know, whatever you want to do, like have, you know, your end picture of like where, how far do you want to take it. You want to be riding on G6, you know, and touring like conference, you know, going to conferences, giving keynote speeches. You want to like do big ass fashion shows. Like, what is it that you want to do? Like, have that dream, have that vision, and like do everything you can to get there. Stop at nothing.
For sure. No, I think we'll get the big picture. The macro scale will always win at the end of the day, rather than that micro detail scale. As long as you have a vision, you don't have to know right away. As long as you have something you're willing to work for, it can take a couple of years. That's fine. But if the one thing you don't want to do is the opposite. If you have that vision and don't put the work in, or think you can get it more, I don't know, you're trying to, I guess, over-deliver, and you're really under-promising yourself, you really won't see what the true potential is. So it's important to stay humble and enjoy the process, like you said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm preaching some Gary Vee shit right here.
There we go.
Honestly, Gary Vee or not, that's what I've learned through my experience. Like,
right.
Especially moving around, like, this has been such a transitional year for me.
Right. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to go from one part of the world and then you have to pretty much learn on the fly. Another culture, a new lifestyle, transportation, blah, blah, blah. It takes a lot. And then you got to, of course, get your body adjusted. It takes a lot out of you. And then
it does. And a lot of it is just mental.
Right. Like, yeah, I was just going to say.
You're not used to it. You're comfortable. You know, sometimes it feels like you're shifting up from what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, because like I started out in a fashion background, and now I'm here running businesses, like basically like doing branding and stuff. And sometimes I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like, you know, what the hell am I doing? Like, this shit's like boring. But it's fun. It's fun, but it's boring. Like, some parts of it is boring. You know what I mean? But here's the thing, I get to really, really help like people. I get to really, really help people and find out who they really are as a business, as a person. And it's a different take from what I'm used to.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying in the sense where sometimes you have to.
Yeah, it's definitely something very interesting.
Right. And I think you have sometimes those boring and those lawless moments, and it's like, well, what can I do to make those moments enjoyable? And you find the path you want to go on. It is an interesting ride, after all. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no journey is ever going to be smooth, because there's always going to be some interesting moment or some interesting take that you'll have to either comment or respond or react to. And how you react to that moment could really lead to something incredible, for sure.
Definitely.
And for the next, the final two, your next question is, what's your goal in the next 5 years? Whether it be just your brand, your career, any hobbies, or something you want to share with the nation?
Yeah, I mean, for the next 5 years, shit, I don't even know what's going to happen next year, like, in the rate that this is going. But, like, let's say I have full control of everything, you know. I want to be able to take this, I want to be able to take this business to scale it, to where I don't have to work there anymore, and it'll make itself money. You know, I don't have to like go into the office and like look for clients every day. It'll just be like, they'll be like, we'll be teaching stuff, and like, I'll be, you know, giving keynote conferences and stuff. I want to like, you know, just help people, you know, around the world travel. Definitely we want to be launching my new collection in the next year, along with a documentary, basically raising awareness against for women who's been through domestic violence, and just really putting the word out and offering assistance to women who's going through that right now and need mental and financial help to get out of the situation they're in. So I really want to use my collection or fashion as a platform to help these women.
Right, be expressive and just show that it's powerful. You know, I think sometimes we look in a sense, yeah, you
know. No. Like, so basically, you know, with that, like, I want, like, people, basically the women who are, like, wearing it, like, hey, you know, I'm beautiful are brilliant, and then like the money that basically comes out of like the profits, part of it goes to help women who's going through that right now and help them get out of the situation. Because like domestic violence happens like way too often. There are like so many women just getting beat up and like hurt by their spouses, you know, by the very ones that are supposed to take care of them and love them.
Yeah, I hear, and that's rough. You know, it's rough because it's a common problem, not just in America. It's all over the world. A lot of people
all over the world. It's all over the world.
A lot of people stereotype that. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, this is a problem that not only
people you least expect it.
Right. It's not even just men on women. Sometimes it's women on men. I mean, that's another thing too. It doesn't matter who you are. It can be words. It can be actions. It can be something you do behind the back. I mean, it could be something that's so detrimental to someone's, you know, mental health or just health overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how things create. Unfortunately, I think raising more awareness, like you're trying to do, and many others who advocate for this, it's good. And I think the more we stop ignoring it and just trying to understand each situation a little bit more and why these things happen, we'll get to some type of answer eventually. It may not be right now or next 5 years, but eventually we can limit this very low because we created the problem and we have to fix the problem for sure. It's a society.
Yep. And it's just, you know, I like, as like, as a human being, I just feel like I gotta give back to the world somehow, some way. And, right. Like, this is something I feel very, very passionate about. Because there's no reason for someone to feel, like, unsafe, and especially if they're, like, weaker than them. Or just in general, like, you shouldn't be abusive in a relationship. Like, you shouldn't be beating someone up into a bloody pulp and, like, making them fear for their lives.
Right. I think it's important that you
acid on them. It's right, so sad. Right.
No, it is. And I think the people who do that, it's not that they're mentally not there, but they need help too. I mean, I think that's what we have to understand too, is a lot of people think, it's just the victim, let's help them, but let's help the other person who created the problem too. You know, maybe they need, of course, they're probably, if they don't do anything, you know, stupid where they serve jail time. But if they do some like small offense, that's an awareness right there where we can help
people. I think a lot of it is that they have inferiority complex. They feel like they have to have like power, and then in order to get that power, or they feel like their power is threatened, they assert that power through physical force on somebody who's weaker than them.
Right.
It's a case of narcissism, I feel like.
And that's it. I think people who are more inferior to the world, and they really have it with themselves. They don't really see the other side. Where are they going to really go in life? And more importantly, where are they going to even go in relationship? I mean, how are they going to sustain a relationship if they can't even be stable with society in general? So I think it's important that we see that and try to prevent those problems as far as just anybody goes, for real.
Definitely.
Yeah, and our final question here, this is always a fun one to end off with. What is one fun fact you want to tell the Anchor Nation that they may not know about you?
I can do 5 accents fluently.
Oh, what?
I'm the accents person. I have like five. So like, I mean, I feel like, okay, so when I talk normally, I feel like I have a merge of accents already. Like some, like, do you hear it
when I talk? I can hear the Houston drawl a little bit.
The what?
The Houston drawl, the drawl, whatever.
Oh, the Houston drawl?
Yeah.
So like, I've been told that I have like a Houston, California like accent.
The Houston, California vibe, yep.
And I'm just like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that even mean? So So, like, I mean, I guess it's a merge of, like, all the places that I've been and, like, all those cultures I surround myself with. But, like, yeah, so I can do, like, you know, of course, a Texan accent. Like, it is real Southern belle, you know. How right. you doing, baby? you like some butter? Paula Deen. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm from, like, Silicon Valley. My, he's like, my boyfriend drives a, like, BMW IA, and he invests in, like, cryptocurrency. It's like, oh, my God. I work in Silicon Valley at a blockchain, and my boss doesn't pay me. They just pay me in Bitcoin. I was like, what the fuck is that? It's not real money. That's my Cali accent. That's not real money. And, honey, what you do? I do your nail for you. I do the vegetarian what you want to eat. Yeah. And then I have my Singapore accent, which is hello, I'm Singaporean. I go to the supermarket and buy food. And what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Indian accent. All right. Okay. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to get the baguettes. You know, it's a very sexy language. You know, it's like comment allez-vous?
French accent. There you go. There you go. That's like six. That's pretty incredible. You know, to have all the. All his accents and pick it up. I think that's the hard part, is not even just language, forget that for a second, just picking up utter culture and the accent part. I think it's hard enough in itself, so definitely being that traveler and experiencing those culture, you can have advantages with going to somewhere else for sure.
I think I definitely like can pick up like language. I feel like I pick up like languages pretty quickly.
Right.
Like, especially if I'm immersed in there and I'm like, I really have to figure out and force myself how to speak something. That's where you really learn. Like, when nobody speaks your language, you're going to have to, like, figure out Google Translate how to talk to somebody. Like, it's very interesting. Like, you pick up the language rather fast.
Right, once you immerse yourself. And I think that's the key, is if you stay long enough and you really dedicate to going into the grind and going into the streets and seeing people talk and picking up the language in itself, you'll learn, I feel, twice or even three times faster rather than, you know, trying to learn it off a translator or learn it. You know, I hear you saying.
It's with anything that you're doing. So, like, if you're trying to learn a new skill, like, pick it up from somebody who's been doing it for, like, a really, really long time and then, like, work for them.
Right.
Yeah, I think like either like offering assistant might even be like an internship. Like, you want to pick up a skill, just like apprentice under them. I think it's a big thing.
No, for sure. I think picking up skills and making yourself marketable, having a second, third, even fourth language, and having communication skills where others can't speak that language, or even just finding accents and. Being an accent interpreter or something, you know, you just don't know. I think that's the great thing about skills and marketable stuff, is like you can make yourself marketable, and all you gotta do is really just put your mind and your heart to it, and things happen for sure.
Mind over matter.
Always 100%. I think it's a great way to end the interview, because end of the day, we're all about just doing things, making it happen, and put that mind over the matter first. But thank you so much for coming on board the show. I know it's very early out there, probably like 10 o'clock. So I appreciate taking time in the morning. But before we go, you want to DM your social media, plug your social media so people can find you?
Yes. So you can find me at azzy.cheer at Instagram. Check out my podcast. Late Night Talks. Hello!
There you go.
You can find me on Instagram, so I'm most active there. You can see my daily, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm at, tune in, checking in. I usually post on Instagram about my day, throughout my day.
The daily grind. I got you.
Stay the grind.
There you go. Thank you to the Anchor Nation, as always, for giving your undivided attention. Not only me, but the interview is always. And Azzy, we'll definitely talk again. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having the late night talk so on your station.
Always so rad.
Alrighty.
Hi, Anchor Nation. This is Kevin Touch of Anchor Nation Community Radio, and I'd like to say thank you for listening to the Anchor Nation podcast. If you'd like to book an interview or DM me on Instagram, follow me at the Anchor Nation. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it is also under the Anchor Nation. Thank you for listening, and enjoy.